Yeah, the angel showed up and spoke to Mary. It's like, all things are possible to what? Those who believe. It's a faith issue. And as we look at John chapter 14, actually we're going to kind of walk through this chapter and some other ones. We're definitely not going to get through it all today. But I want to kind of look through some scriptures here in the book of John. And, you know, anytime you read the word, it's very important to look at. Jesus is such a master, and the Bible is so amazing because Jesus, the way he says things is so calculated, you know. And in the order that he says it is so calculating also. You know, it's pretty amazing to watch Jesus or listen to him, right? About what he does say in the order he says it and the importance he puts on it, right? If we look at John chapter 14, and I'm just going to go through them. We're just going to catalog through this today, and I just feel like we're supposed to talk about some of this. John chapter 14, verse 1, and it says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. You know, let not your heart be troubled. That's kind of a theme today, right? It's kind of amazing that she was talking about that. I don't think it's amazing. It just means that, you know, we're all connected here in the spirit, right? So we're all connected to one body. But let not your heart be troubled. You know, interesting thing is, before we read anything farther, this is a basis on which Jesus is building some teaching on here, okay? You know, just so what? You're an absolute hot mess if you're in fear, right? I mean, can you imagine? We got people that have been in the military here. We've got, you know, I've got friends of mine that have done multiple tours of duty and everything else too. And, you know, if you're not ready to go, if you're absolute paralyzed by fear, I mean, not to say that you don't feel those things. I've never been in that situation before, but I can't say that. But the point is, it's like, you know, when you're dealing with these things, it's kind of hard to be mobile, right? You know, I don't know if you've got kids, they're dealing with fear or anything else too. It's hard for people who are bound by fear or have anxiety or worry or whatever these things to get free to be able to do anything, right? Okay, I'll just tell you right now, I'm not doing any bungee jumping anytime soon, okay? You know, there are people who don't have fear, and they just jump right off that thing, and they just go head first, and just good for you, okay? It ain't happening for me, right? So that's never going to happen. But don't let your heart be troubled. It's the preface, it's the basis that Jesus is talking about here, but it says, believe in God. Verse 2, my Father's house are many mansions. If it wouldn't be so, well, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, you're thinking, this kind of sounds odd. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you will also be. Verse 4, and wherever I go, and the way you'll know. And then Thomas comes along. You're doubting Thomas, right? Poor guy. He gets the label here. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we go? And then verse 6. This is an amazing verse right here. But if we kind of recap right here, Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled, right? He says, cast this junk off of you. And then also, too, the really cool thing about Jesus, he puts in perspective here. He lays out a foundation for eternal perspective, right? Don't worry about this. Cast off your fear. Get this junk out of your life. You know, don't let your heart be troubled because guess what? I'm going somewhere. I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going to come get you. I'm not going to forget about you, right? And then Thomas comes along and just so perfect goes right into this and says, we don't know where you're going. How are we going to follow you? You know, we have no idea where you're going, what you're doing. And then Jesus comes on. This is probably one of the most in-depth, I would say, words out of the master's mouth that comes right here in verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Let me read that again. I am the way. Let's put it in context here. You notice in first verse, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." How are we not going to be troubled? He's the way. Let me say that again. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You know, it's interesting here enough, no matter what it is in your life, okay, let's say, for example, you need life over fear, right? You need life over debt. You need life over, let's say you need direction. There's separation there. There's some kind of, I don't want to say death, but there's no life there, right? We're looking for answers. But really, Jesus says here, "I am the way." See, we don't need an answer. We need a person. Can I say that one more time? We don't need an answer. We need the person, Jesus, right? Because through him, they're going to have the way. You're going to have the truth, and you're going to have life. I could just hang on that for like a year. I'm just telling you right now, because he is the way, right? You know, it's amazing how you'll sit in other churches and things like that. It just kills ministers to mention the name of Jesus or just even talk about salvation. You know, it's just like painful. You're sitting there, you're going, "We're in a church. Can you say the name of Jesus just one time? Just a little bit. Could just pull out one time, you know?" I don't need to feel good. I need to know him because he's the way, right? I don't need my emotions stroked. I don't need my ego petted. I need Jesus to show up on the scene and give me some direction here, right? I need some life into this thing. If I need healing, I mean, doctors, thank God for doctors. If I need peace, you know. I think the amazing thing is, too, you know, like, you know, we were just watching on this faith challenge. You know, there have been times where, let me just say this, you know, you ask people, you're like, "What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think?" And you get all these things. It's like, "Well, that's good. Okay, that's interesting. That's good." But you know, when the Holy Ghost shows up and gives you a divine word from heaven, it's all over. That's it. The way. He shows you the way. Through Jesus, we have the truth. He's the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Right? I just say this, and I can't get off of this. But you know, the world will sit there, and they always have counterfeits, right? The way, the truth, and the life. And you know, really, he says, "Hey, I'm going to heaven." Really, if you want to put it in layman's terms here, Jesus says, "I'm going to heaven where the Father is at. There are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come back. And then where I'm going, you're going to know too, and you're going to know the way." Thomas goes, "Well, we don't know where it's at." And he says, "I am the way," right? And there's so much depth and so much revelation in that. Not just how to get to heaven, right? But it is the way through this life. Goes on, verse 7, "If you have known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth, you know him and have seen him." And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it'll suffice. It'll take care of us. It'll satisfy us." Verse 9, and Jesus says, "Have I been with you so long with you? And yet, here I am, and you don't know me, Philip?" "You've seen me, have seen the Father." And then you ask me, you say, "Show us the Father." Verse 10, Believe you not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Here we go. "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, and he does the works." We want to get down here. "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do because I go unto my Father. Verse 13, here we go. And whosoever shall ask in my name that what I may do, I'll think about it, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I may do it. I will do it. Now, let's stop right there. And we are masters, and I've done this before too, but we are masters of taking a scripture out like this and saying, whatever I ask in his name, he's going to do it. And it is scripture, and it is right, correct? But we got to really kind of take things in context here, because what's the first thing Jesus says here? Let not your heart be troubled. How are you going to have confidence toward God if you are an absolute hot mess on the inside? You know? And it doesn't mean we need to be perfect. We're not saying that at all. What it means is the Lord is trying to get us to say to the point where, like, number one, relax, guys. Okay? The house is on fire, but it doesn't mean that we have to melt, have an emotional meltdown here, right? Number two, eternal perspective. Okay? When this is all said and done, I've got a better place for you. It's all, you know, there's going to be heaven. There's going to be mansions here. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I haven't forgotten you. I'm going to come back for you at the end. You're going to meet me. It's all going to be great. You're going to go there with me. Because I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am this pathway. And because you have peace, you have faith in me, you're going to see, whatever you ask, in my name I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me and keep my commandments, I pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not. It doesn't know him either. But you'll know him. He will dwell with you and he shall be in you. Now, this is so awesome because here's Jesus is laying out the groundwork for us, right? He's saying, you're going to ask in my name whatever it is you want. And also, when I leave, and because you just said I'm going to go somewhere, I'm going to prepare a place for you, right? While I'm gone, I'm going to send somebody else, a paraclete, which is Greek for another or a sent one, the same as me, a paraclete, which is the Holy Spirit. He's going to come, and he's going to be with you, right? And here we are all the time saying, I just feel depressed. I'm so lonely. I'm so this. I'm so that. And he said he'd never leave us and forsake us, right? And I just think sometimes we have more faith, obviously, in our circumstances and our feelings than we do the Holy Spirit. You know, there are different, how can I say, philosophies of Christianity out there. I want to use the term philosophy, okay? We definitely have a different philosophy than most of the church body, right? Most of the church body comes to you, makes you feel good, wants to pet and stroke you for you to come back every Sunday, right? And you know, and there's that philosophy where, you know, we want to do everything it is. Now, I'd rather have somebody help me, give me tools for my life, right? To help me. You know, I remember being in churches before years ago, and not to say that we're not here for, but I get my point across here. You know, there'd be people where they'd be like, well, I don't know, you know, I got this job opportunity. Should I take it? Let me go ask a pastor. Okay, great. Okay, fine. You know, this person, should I marry this person? Let me go ask a pastor. Let me go ask this person. You know, everything. Are you kidding me, right? Can I just tell you something? I mean, you can talk to me all day. You can call me. You can ask me questions. I'm not saying that that's not all. But let me just say this. I want you to connect with Jesus, okay? I want you to connect with the Holy Spirit and get the answer for yourself, okay? I want you to grow and develop in yourself, right? And Jesus wants you to grow and develop yourself too. Because, you know, I really get tired, you know. I don't want to change diapers all the time, You know, I'm out of that phase. You know, glory to God, it was like a pay raise. You know, it was just like a bonus when we got out of the diaper phase. You know, it was like, hallelujah, the clouds parted and the hallelujah chorus rang and it was just amazing, you know. But that's discipleship. It means what we do is Jesus, he gives us the Holy Spirit and we grow and we develop, right? And so he's telling us here at this moment right here that we're going to ask him in his name. And we're going to pray to the Father and he's going to give us another comforter. Another one just like Jesus. Praise the Lord. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. You know, this is why the world thinks that we're so weird, because they don't have the ability to comprehend the Holy Spirit. And even in churches, you start talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, that Holy Spirit stuff. I mean, can you imagine if I went to a church, into a lot of the churches now, and I said something, oh, that Jesus stuff. Oh, that God stuff. It's weird and creepy. Well, the Holy Spirit's part of the Godhead, right? Hello? He's here with us now. It's part of the Godhead. There's nothing creepy about the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke to him and said, man, this is, and in fact, if you grieve the Holy Spirit, it's bad news for you. Because the Holy Spirit is so precious. So, you know, when the world doesn't understand you, and they think it's weird, it's because they don't know him. That's what the scripture says here. They have no ability to comprehend the Holy Spirit. They have no ability to comprehend or hear the voice of God because they don't recognize him. They're not there. Verse 17, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. If we have that revelation all the time that the Holy Spirit is not only with us, but he's in us, everywhere we go, maybe we change our behavior a little bit too, right? You know, we wouldn't, you know, maybe I wouldn't eat that stuff. I'm eating, you know, right? Holy Spirit, what are you doing eating that stuff? This is my temple. Lay off the chocolate. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet in a little while, the world sees him no more, but you'll see me because I live and you shall live also. Isn't this cool too? We look at here. He says that I'll live and you'll live also. Where do we get our life from? Him. Him. And it says he is the way, the truth, and what? The life. Think about it this way. If we don't have him, we don't have life. There's nothing. We can't. We have, the Bible says we move and have our being in him. In hell, there's no strength. You know, people that have gone to hell and they've come back, they're like, it's just like there's no air, there's no strength, there's no nothing there. You're weak. You can barely move. You can barely breathe or anything else. But man, when you're with God, there's life. There's life to move. There's joy. There's peace. We got good things ahead. Jesus is saying, man, he's just saying, man, there's a happy day coming for you guys, the church. Good things coming ahead. Number one, I'm going to check out. Don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. It's going to be amazing. There's mansions there, right? You're going to be able to call on the Father in my name, and everything's going to be provided for you. I'm going to be faithful to you. While I'm gone, there's going to be another comforter. He's going to come and take care of you. He's going to be with you. He's going to never leave you nor forsake you. He's going to be with you, and he's going to live in you. And because of me, you're going to have a life. And the world isn't going to understand any of it. They're going to think it's absolutely weird, right? And if we're worried and concerned about what people think and the world thinks about us, why? Why, you know? A lot of these churches, well, we're just trying to. And I remember a church going, it was years ago, and then the pastors came out like about a year or two ago and said it was a big mistake. But, you know, going around house to house and asking people what they think, what would you like in a church? And what would you like? I don't see Jesus going along getting any surveys, right? Going along, well, do you think I should heal on Sunday? And do you think I should do this? And do you think I should do that? No, Jesus just did what the Father told him to, right? You're asking someone who does not recognize, we just read that, who doesn't even recognize the Holy Spirit. The world has no idea. Then he goes on here. Verse 20, "In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Verse 21, "He that is my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest himself to him." You know, often God measures our love through obedience, right? We've got kids, you know, in here. You're like, okay, go to bed, you know. It's like you need Velcro, you know. I just need to, like, get their back full of Velcro in the bed and just stick them in there, you know. And it's like, you ain't getting up, all right, till morning, right? And God equates love through obedience. They're on the cross, you know, or you know, they're at the end. Jesus told John, he's like, do you love me? Told Peter, do you love me? What did he say after that? Well, then go feed my sheep, right? Go tell the good news, right? Do you love me? I mean, no, Jesus said it three times, and you're thinking, you know, Peter's probably going, okay, I said it one time. Do you love me? Yeah. Go feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yeah. Go feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes. Go feed my sheep. You know? Again, the Lord is always equating love with obedience, right? What did Jesus, I mean, what did the disciples do after Jesus was gone? They all died. I mean, they tried to boil John in oil and they couldn't kill him. It was just kind of like, this is weird. So we'll just stick him on an island of Patmos, right? I mean, you think about that. They try to kill you and kill you and kill you and it just won't happen, right? I mean, just like the Energizer Bunny. Takes a lick and keeps on ticking. Or that Timex or whatever, right? You just couldn't kill him. And he kept going, one foot in front of the other, telling people about Jesus, right? We remember the disciples, and we remember all the people in the Bible through what? Their obedience. Their obedience. Verse 22, and Judas, this is not Iscariot, it's the other Judas, said, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world?" Verse 23, and Jesus said unto him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our what? Abode with him, our home. Well, but it's all works. You're talking about works. I got to do this and I got to do that. No, works is like walking on hot coals for your salvation. That's works, right? I got to be good enough to do these things. Jesus here clearly defines that obedience and love. That's God's love language, is obedience, right? That's all it is. You can imagine, you know, Abraham sitting on there with him and Isaac. They're going to go sacrifice. And Isaac goes, "We don't have a sacrifice today, Dad. What's going on here?" Right? Can you imagine if you know, Abraham didn't obey, right? I just love how now he doesn't always, you know, perfect. We're not perfect, and it's always easy for us to look back at you know, some of these patriarchs in the Bible and judge them and everything. And Peter, you know, "Oh, what'd you do that for, Peter? You know, I wouldn't have done that." Yeah, maybe not. Maybe it would have been one of the 70 one of the multitude that took off when Jesus started saying things like, "Yeah, at the end you're going to eat my body and drink my blood," you know. This is going to be communion, and, you know, we have no idea what we've done. So I can look back now and thank you, I'm in a new covenant, Lord, and I don't have to slaughter animals. I don't have to get the old knife out and fillet Fluffy, you know. And oh, man, they'd have a cow. I guess that's not a good term, is it? Have a cow. Verse 24, "And he that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's," right? Here we go again, verse 25. "These things I've spoken unto you, but you present with you this. Here we go, verse 26. He says it again, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. You know, if the Holy Ghost is so creepy, why does Jesus keep referring to him as the Comforter, right? The teacher, the advocate. Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Here we go, verse 27, and we'll close here. Peace I leave with you. You know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father, it's all peace emitting from them. You have peace about it, right? Every time it's from the Holy Ghost or from God, it's like, I just have peace about it. You have peace. We go with peace, don't we, in our life? We go with peace. Not what feels good all the time, but peace. I've had times in my life where I'm going, oh, no, Lord, you got the wrong guy here. Lord, you got the wrong address. I'm sorry, your delivery system just messed up. I'm sorry, Holy Ghost, this ain't happening, right? Things I don't want to do, but in the midst of it, while I'm walking things out, I'll have peace. I'll have peace. What is that? That's a byproduct of the Holy Spirit. When you're pushed and you're pressured and you don't, that's the devil, right? Pushing, you got to do this now. You got to do this now. You got to do this now, right? Like a pushy salesman, you know? You take these shoes, you need a second pair of shoes, and then you need the oil for that, and then you should need some new shoestrings, and you probably need a new polished cloth for your shoes, and then you need this, and you sure? Yeah. You'll have peace. And then verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. Not as the world gives. There's just something. The peace of God that passes all understanding. There's something about the peace of God that you will never find in the world. Let me say that again. You will never find the peace level that you have with the Lord or the Holy Spirit, right? I've had friends of mine that, you know, there's just something about knowing somebody that is passed away, that is born again. I've had friends of mine that are on dope, wrecked their Harley. They're in hell right now, right? Horrible funeral. Oh my gosh. It was awful, right? Friends of mine, you know, kill themselves and everything else. It's awful, you know? Drug overdoses, wrecked their motorcycle. I mean, it's just awful, right? It doesn't matter what you say. You're not going to bring me peace at all. It doesn't matter, right? Because the world's peace. You can get up there all day long and talk about these things. At a guy that I know, he died, and it's like, well, you know, he'd have liked it. We're all going to go down to the bar and get drunk together, and they're all, you know, rode down on their bikes together. They're all, you know, pounding beers and everything together because he would have liked it that way. It's awful, right? I mean, you can cover up as much beer and as much dope and as much garbage as you want to, you know, and try to fool yourself. But you're never going to have the peace. The past is all understanding, like the Lord is talking about right here. Right? The peace he gives you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. The world gives you a false sense of hope. Well, we're all going to make it to heaven. That's okay. Well, it's all going to be okay. No. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus says it again. Neither let it, what? Be afraid. I mean, I don't want to go today, but I have no fear of death. Why? Because I know it's going to be on the other side for me, right? Okay, amen? And don't you bring me back either, okay? All right? I'm kidding. So, right? So I don't have fear of death. Why? Because I know. I believe the words that Jesus said right here. There's a better place. There's mansions, right? He's prepared a place for me. I can have the peace of God that passes all understanding that the world doesn't have, it doesn't possess, and has no comprehension. Why? Because they don't know the Holy Spirit. The only peace that you're going to get is coming from God. That's it. That's it. There is no other peace apart from the Holy Spirit. There is no peace. There's nothing outside of God. And hell is just simply the void of God. That's it. All hell is. It's just the separation of the presence of God and His peace in Him. So I say this, you know, it kind of goes with our theme this morning, or what the Holy Spirit, I believe, is getting to, is this. Number one, and I just present it to you right now. If you've got things in your life right now that you're struggling with, you're, you know, you don't have the peace of God right now, your heart's troubled about something, okay? Nobody looking around right now. I want you to come up here right now. Just come up here right now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you this morning, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled this morning. You can have the peace of God that passes all understanding this morning. Amen. The peace of God. The peace of God. I don't have it. He does. I don't have anything for you this morning. I have nothing to give you. I've had people before that come up or they'll do things and they're kind of like, what do you got, man? Let's see what you got. Well, I don't have anything. But who I have is pretty important, you know. I am nothing. I have no ability to do anything. I can't heal a moth's wings. I can't do anything. I can pat you on the back, maybe, you know, give you a few, you know, little philosophy things, but I have nothing. Now, the Word and the Holy Ghost, I mean, they can fix you. I mean, He can fix you better than being in therapy for 20 years. Amen? Said it before, I'll say it again. You know, if I've got a Chevy, I'm not going to go to the Ford dealership. If I've got a Dodge, why would I go to Toyota, right? God created us. He can fix us. He can mend our hearts. Lord, as we close, my prayer is just an outpouring of your Spirit on this church. We speak an awakening in this church right now in the name of Jesus by the power of God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, right now that we speak healings right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, deliverance from demonic spirits in the name of Jesus. We thank you that people are going to be born again in the name of Jesus. Filled with the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Have revelation from heaven in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. As we close, if you've never made Jesus your Lord, or if you're not sure, I want you right now, nobody moving, I want you to come up here right now. We want to pray with you because you don't need to leave here without it. Or if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, never, ever done those things, we want to make sure that you know before you leave. If everybody here is born again, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Friday night, we're at Dean and Jessica's, it sounds like. So look forward to that. A great time on Friday night. Amen. Friday night, 7 o'clock. We will see you all there. Have a great week.